Can I sit too?
Yes.
Tim, team, thank you. Isn't this fun, not being cold and singing the songs that we want? I see some of you were like, yeah. Others of you are like, come on, let's come back tonight. Hey, we are not dismissing the kids today for Children's Church because they're going to participate with us. And frankly, because that way I preach shorter, which someone's going to be like, amen. Yeah, so they're sticking around. I'll ask the question to the kids. What day is today? Christmas Eve! What do we celebrate on Christmas Eve? Jesus' birthday. Yeah, hot dog. That's right, Jesus in a manger. You guys, can I just verbally process some things with you this morning? Please say yes. Okay. I've been chewing on something, marinating, whatever you wanted to say. I've been stewing on something based out of a book I've been reading called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And I got the last part down already. So bear with me. It's going to seem like it's kind of scattered. I hope it comes back together all at the end. Frank's not here, is he? Oh, man, that's unfortunate. Who knows Frank really well? Okay, they're at Disney World. That's not unfortunate that he's gone. That's fortunate. Wow. Hey, do you know what, or can you guess what Frank's kids would have called him as they were growing up? Dad. He's a doctor, though, right? He's an MD. All right, I guess we'll come back to that. John, you are a teacher at the collegiate level. What do your kids call you? Huh? Boss? No, tell me what they really call you. They call you Spots? Really? I was not expecting that answer. That changes the trajectory of where I'm going this morning. Thanks a lot, man. All right, then. Kyle, what do your kids call you? This Kyle of all the beautiful family that came up and they read and they read better than me. What do your kids call you? Apple guy. That's a term of endearment, I'm assuming. Yeah, there's probably a story behind it. They call you anything else? Dad. Yeah. Yeah, you are a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserves, and they call you Dad. I am I'm a pastor. Some of you may be questioning that. I'm an ordained reverend. My kids don't call me pastor. They call me Dad. All right? So what do you think Jesus called Joseph? You ever thought about that? What do you think? Did they call him, did Jesus call him stepdad? Jesus call him sir? I don't think he would have called him Spots. I'm pretty safe there. And apple guy, that's questionable. They call him patriarch, old man? Called dad. He called him dad. Your father? Okay. You guys are like fun today. He's like, James, told you, James, it's like being outdoors. We just get to yell at you. We don't know for sure what Jesus called his dad, but just picture some of the things that he could have been like. You know, out in the shop, the wood shop, if he was a carpenter. Sir, why do you put glue first and then a nail into the leg on the table? Or maybe right before us at the kitchen table, and they're about to go to Sabbath school. Stepfather, could you help me memorize my verses before we go? Could have been. Now, how about this one? I bet you never thought of this. Hey, Papa Joe, can you teach me how to talk to girls? Right? And that's the one thing you guys are going to remember this time. James said Jesus asked his dad about girls. What did Jesus call Joseph? Bottom line, we don't know, all right? We don't, but we know that in that culture, a parent, more specifically, a father would name the child. We see in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, that the angel Gabriel said to Joseph, you are to name the kid Jesus. So a father names the kid. We see in Luke's gospel also that Jesus is fit into Joseph's genealogy. We see that Joseph or Jesus was called a carpenter's son in Matthew and Mark. And in Luke chapter 2, we see Jesus saying his parents, as in plural. All right, so we don't know exactly what Jesus called Joseph, but more than likely it was a name that was common and a name that was a term of endearment for the way kids would call their parents. More than likely, father. Because in the Greek, that doesn't have the same stuffy air. And if you call your dad father, I'm not making fun of you. It's kind of like a father in our culture, but in that culture, there's an intimacy in that name. There's a knownness, a personal connection. And the Greek word is pater. So what did Jesus call Joseph? We don't know for sure, but we know what Jesus called his heavenly father. It was father, right? Right after Simeon had blessed Jesus after his eighth day dedication, right after Anna had run around telling everybody that, hey, the person you're waiting for to come and rescue Jerusalem is here, you fast forward in the story 12 years, and you get Jesus in the temple. Remember that story? His family had come to worship in the temple, and when it was time to leave, mom and dad, they joined the train back to where they were going, and they thought Jesus was with them, and when they realized that he wasn't around, they're like, they went back, they found him, they looked around for 3 days in the temple, and they eventually found him where? I just gave you the answer. In the temple, good, you guys know the story, great, right? And Mary said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I, that's the word pater, your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere. And Jesus replied, I just get a kick out of this, in his 12-year-old voice, which may or may not have dropped yet, so maybe there was a crack in it, right? It's possible. I'm not going to do that crack. Jesus replied, but why did you need to search? He asked. Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? My pater's house, right? What did Jesus call Joseph? We don't know for sure. What did he call the big guy in the sky? Father. This term of intimacy, this term of familiarity. Now, fast forward 21 years from that, Jesus' disciples, they see him praying a lot, so they go to him and they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And in Luke chapter 2, Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. Or in Matthew's account, Jesus said, pray like this. And he said, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Our Father. There's an intimacy there. There's a familiarity there. Now, what does all this have to do with what Jesus calls Joseph? Let's go even bigger picture. What does all this have to do with a baby in a manger? For that, we're going to have to rewind the story to the very beginning. Okay, if you got a Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, I think they're the maroon ones in the book and the seat thing under. And yeah, find it. Genesis chapter 2, it's right at the beginning. All right? Telling you, this all fits together. At least I hope it does. All right. In Genesis chapter 2, somebody look at verse 4, somebody look at verse 5, somebody look at verse 7, somebody look at 8, at 9, at 15, at 16, at 18, at 19, and at 21. All right? Hey, Kendra, look up verse 21, and I want you to look in the story. What is God called in those verses? And if you don't know, the answer should be up on the screen here very shortly. Everybody's like, I don't know, what's the answer? Okay? Lord God. You ever wondered why Lord is all capitalized in the story? Parents, if you're sitting next to a kid, show them. It's L-O-R-D capitalized. So in all those verses, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 15, 16, 18, 19, and 21, whenever God is addressed, he's addressed as Lord God. So, this is fun, all right? I really enjoy this. You go to the next part, chapter 3 of Genesis, and you see this continues. This way to address God continues. says this in chapter 3, verse 1. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, he asked the woman, "Did God really say to you, you must not eat from any of the trees in the garden?" What just happened? Oh, come on now, y'all, like, he lied. The devil called. Look at. All those verses in chapter 2, God is addressed as Lord God. And then chapter 3 begins, and the Lord God made even the serpent, and he was shrewd. And the serpent said to Mary, "Did God really tell you not to eat?" What's missing? Oh, good job. Gold star for all of you. I tell you what, here's what we'll do. I'm so proud of you, I'll give you donuts after the service. In fact, let's be honest, I won't give you donuts. Donna brought donuts, so thank her later. If I forget to mention it later, there's donuts after the service. So gold star, you saw that the serpent left off Lord. What's so important about that? Here's what's important about it, okay? Somebody have an answer? Was not subservient. That's not being subservient. That's not where I'm going, which is one of the first times you didn't answer like where I was going. Well done. So let me go where I'm going. Normally, you're like, oh, man. Lord, L-O-R-D, in the original Hebrew, it's Yahweh Elohim. Okay, say that with me. Yahweh Elohim. What's important about that is that Elohim, God, is the generic term for God. Okay, it's the any God word for God. But the word Yahweh is that personal God. It's that intimate God. That's the name that God gave himself when Moses asked him, who should I tell the people ascending me? And God said, well, I'll tell them I am who I am. And then he said, tell them Yahweh sent you. And this will be the everlasting name that you will call me for all generations from here on out. All right, so Yahweh is extremely personal. This is saying this is the Israelite God. Not the God of the Jebusites or the Hittites or the Amorites or the Amalekites or all the otherites. This is the Israelite God. This is what the author of Genesis is telling us. This is a very specific God for a very specific people group. And the term Yahweh is a very intimate word, a very intimate name for him. So all those places in Genesis chapter 2, we see God being called Yahweh God. And then the serpent says, did God really tell you? Leaves off the personal. And Eve, without even noticing it, takes the bait. Because you look, I'm not even going to talk about an apple or whatever other fruit it was. Of course, she says, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it or you will die. She too left off that personal, that familiarity, that known. Now, if that's not making sense, if that's like, well, why are we even talking about that? It would be as if Frank, who was a medical doctor, as if his kids always called him doctor growing up. Totally takes away the personal, right? Doctor, what time are we leaving for school this morning? Doctor, can you help me tie my shoe? Doctor, I can't figure out. Get in the picture? It'd be the same as if John's kids, who no longer called him Spots. I love that. Well done. Keep it up. But if they called him Professor all the time, right? Professor, when are you going to get my car fixed? Professor, can I have $5? Professor, it takes away the personal. It takes away the intimacy. Okay? Kyle, Lieutenant Colonel in the Army, right? Am I saying that right? Okay, what's happening in Genesis 3 would be as if his four beautiful daughters would always call him Sir, Yes, Sir. He may like that. He may want that. But I could read you a text that tells that Kyle texted me and he says, my favorite name my kids call me is Daddy. So what's taking place in Genesis chapter 3 is the serpent is taking away the familiarity. He's taking away the known. He's taking away the intimacy. And every book, every paragraph, every sentence, every word from Genesis 3 until we get a baby in the manger is the story of regaining that familiarity. That's why it's important to celebrate this. Because Jesus restored the familiarity. I mean, this is just fantastic. When Jesus was itty-bitty, before he could learn to talk, he probably babbled, right? And he probably babbled being like, Abba, 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 Abba. Abba, Abba. That was probably one of the first words that he called his dad Joseph, which in the original Aramaic, that term means daddy, all right? So when he was little, we don't have record of this, but I'm assuming Jesus probably called his Joseph Abba, right? And then the boy gets to the point where he's 12 years old, his voice starts to change, he's like, I'm gonna call you father from here on out. I remember to the day when my kids switched from calling me daddy to calling me dad. It was one of those like, oh, they're growing up. Abby. So then, you know, father. And then when his disciples, when they came and said, teach us to pray, he said, you know what? Pray father. Pray our father. Because I may have been a baby in a manger, but I've grown up now. And I want you to address God the same way that I address God, as father. But then what happens in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus is in his hour of greatest needs? I mean, studies show that we revert back to how we act as children when we get into crisis, right? Yeah, all of a sudden, what does Jesus call his father? Mark chapter 14, verse 36, it says, you know, he went out again, he prayed, and tears fell like drops of blood, and he prayed, Abba, Father, can you take this cup away from me? Daddy! Jesus told his disciples, and we are his disciples, you can pray to the Father like I pray to the Father. You can use terms of familiarity like I use terms of familiarity. The Apostle Paul, arguably the greatest church planter and evangelist of all time, he reiterates that in Romans. He said, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, so you've not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's spirit when he adopted you as his children. Now we call him Abba, Father. He said that again to the church in Galatia. When the time was right, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. I mean, what's important about a baby in a manger? Sure, I love Christmas. I do. I love the lights. I love the snow that's not on the ground right now outside. I love the warm fuzzies. I love the gifts. But every once in a while, I love being reminded what this is all about. This is restoring familiarity with God. And isn't it great that we can also pray to Abba Daddy? We can also pray this intimate, familiar term to our Father in heaven. Because our Father in heaven became the Son. And we can now pray like that. I don't know. Restores familiarity. That baby in a manger. Will this affect the way you interact with God over the coming days? Maybe. I know I needed to hear it this morning. So, because we're pretending we're outside, I'm going to be done preaching. Let me pray while the worship team comes back up, leads us in a few more songs. Lord God, thank you so much that we can call you Abba, Daddy, Father, in these terms of familiarity. We do recognize that you are omniscient and all-powerful and omnipresent and all those other big church words that we've grown up hearing, but we recognize also that your Son told us we can pray our Father, our Daddy, and we are grateful for that. As we celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the coming of a king into a manger, we celebrate also the restoration of familiarity with you. May we never take that for granted, ever. And I thank you, Daddy, that we can pray like this. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.